Hi, I'm Eric Dewey from the Socially Awkward Studios, Science and Beer, and Her Majesty's Secret Podcast, and you're listening to another proud presentation of the Four Eyed Radio Network. Check out more shows at foureyedradio.com.
Today on Ranger Command Power Hour.
I have gained like 150 followers since the show quit.
That's awesome.
Maybe they're real people. They're not even spam bots. I check them out. I'm like, seriously?
Oh my gosh.
Maybe they
posted like a special 2.0 coming soon for like 2 months, and that's it. And I got 150 followers out of it. I was like, wow, if that's all it takes.
Go for 3.0.
Yeah, exactly.
2.0's been canceled. We're going straight to 3.0.
we're releasing the 2.1 beta this week.
So I just realized, have I been muted this whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that.
All my jokes lost, like tears in the rain.
You're pulling a me, okay? You're pulling an AP.
Well, because I canceled my USB headset microphone.
Yeah, because I didn't hear anything after you when you said, oh yeah, I'm going to switch to the better microphone. I'm like, yeah, do that. I didn't hear anything from you since. I just thought, man, it's taking them a long time to find those headphones.
Yeah, and then I had so many jokes that are just, they're gone now.
Oh.
That last show became a huge sausage fest.
A sausage fest of depression, which is the worst kind of sausage fest.
I'm sorry.
We weren't trying to be depressing. I don't think we were. We were balancing out with, like, baby.
Yeah. Chris would be like, look at the baby, look at the baby. By the way, this movie's going to be terrible. Look at the baby, look at the baby, look at the baby.
And then Shane, who's like, his whole podcast is about being positive. And he was just like, he was just ruined.
Yeah, we broke his soul, poor guy.
I'm sorry.
And now on Ranger Command Power Hour.
Hey, aye, 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 aye. It's the Ranger Command Power Hour.
It's morphing time! Ha!
Today on the Power Hour, Episode 71, Rangers Potpourri, recorded on June 15th, 2016. Welcome to the Ranger Command Power Hour on the Four-Eyed Radio Network. So I'm a Ranger Up with your host. I'm Eric, also known as Trekkie B47.
I'm AP, also known as Secret Ranger Fan.
I'm Zach, also known as the... Oh, wow, I almost said Cinema Slob. I'm Zach, also known as Hollywood.
And I'm Chris, also known as Kickback.
Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/rangercommandph. There are over 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I literally laughed so hard I strained something in my neck. My neck hurts now.
I hope our listeners don't have that same problem after they listen to this episode.
Yeah, all right.
From laughing so much.
Yeah.
How's everyone doing?
Well, I was doing great. Now I'm sore and laughing, and I can't help myself anymore.
Well, this is going to be a fairly laid-back episode. We got a ton of listener questions, and we're just going to get right into it. We do have just a little bit of news on mainly just Power Ranger products out there. It's been kind of a slow news week for Power Rangers. I think we tapped out all the news last episode. So first, the Funko Pop vinyls. The rest of them have been announced. About 2 or 3 years ago, they released the Red, White, and Pink Rangers, which I recently sold on eBay for a ton of money. But they recently announced Black, Blue, Yellow, and Green. And GameStop will actually be releasing a metallic blue Ninjetti Wolf version, which Zach is very excited about.
You can't see the joy on my face, but it's there. The instant I saw that, I was like, well, I have to break my rule about Funko Pops. And the rule was only the Fallout ones. Like, I'm going to limit myself to one series because these things are just the Beanie Babies of the 2000s. I'm not going to go nuts. And then I saw metallic blue Wolf, and I went, well, there goes my rule.
Yeah, so actually, one of the questions our friends over at the Longbox Cast at Longbox Cast on Twitter, they said, how excited are you for the Power Rangers Pop Vinyls?
Nope.
I'm excited that they're actually finishing what they started from 3 years ago, but I'm not buying them.
I can answer in one word.
Very.
Whoa.
Okay, very excited. AP, I know you collect some pops, right?
Yeah, I was excited about these for 2 seconds, and then I looked at them some more, and they're, like, butt ugly, and I want no parts of it. So...
I was able to sell my White Ranger for like $175 on eBay.
Holy shnikes.
What?
Yeah, because they went for 3 years without making any more. Red, pink, and white just like shot up in price on the aftermarket. And it was like a month ago or a month and a half ago when someone on my Twitter friends list said, hey, these are selling for a lot of money, because I was just like, I'm not going to collect these. I wonder if they're going to sell. And someone was like, yeah, they go for like 150 or more on eBay. I was like, what the shit? I just fired up my eBay app and I let the Red Ranger one go. Like, I started like a normal like auction. And I let that thing ride. That Red Ranger got me like $150. And then the White Ranger, I had to buy it now for $175. A week or two after I sold them, they announced them. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I want to collect them only if they're like, yeah, this is just the first set. Then we'll do Alien. Then we'll do Zeo. Then we'll. But they're not going to do that. So, no. I have no notice. If they ever release like a Zeo Gold shirt. But I just don't think that'll ever happen because it's Mighty Morphin or it's nothing, apparently.
That's like Nerf. It's yeah. Nerf or nothing.
It's more for nothing.
Like, if they released vinyls for, what is it, like the new movie coming out next year? If they released those, I'd buy them. I would buy them, like, with, 100%.
Oh, okay. With the funky bio suit things?
Yeah. I think that would make a neat Funko Pop.
It would be cool if they did make those, where, like, those chess pieces, it was some cool, like, holographic paint or something. I don't know.
Oh.
Like some kind of weird metallic-y thing. Anywho, I picked up the black and gold Dragon Zord, and I know you did too, Chris, because you just did a whole Toku Nation gallery for it. Chris, give us your thoughts on the black and gold Dragon Zord.
Well, I have both the first version and then the black and gold version, and just... comparing the two, it feels like they fixed some of the issues with the armored mode, where it's basically like a cape for the frickin' Megazord, whatever mm-hmm. mode that's called. Because the issue was the feet were so heavy because they're diecast, they keep flopping down. Right. They don't, on mine at least, they don't do it on the black and gold as much as they did on the original. So I don't know if that means they fixed it or if they just put a new joint in or something. I don't know. So that's nice. But I think that the coolest thing about it is it's just so freaking pretty. They pulled out the stops and did like the dark, deep chrome gold color to it.
Mm-hmm.
I call it the Zeo Gold Rangers Dragon Zord.
It's a different gold than what they did the black and gold Megazord, right?
It is. It's a darker gold, and it makes me wish that they would have done the Megazord in that same kind of gold, because when you combine them together, they kind of clash just a little bit, mostly in a Dragon Zord cape mode, or whatever the hell that mode's called.
Right.
When you do the Dragon Zord in battle mode, you can't really tell that much, because you don't really get to see the joints of the Megazord too much, and when you do, they don't really detract from the super awesome-looking dark gold chrome chest that the thing has. It's a very pretty figure, and I've seen it restocked once since it came out, and I have not seen any on shelves. I don't even see a sticker for it anymore.
I can't even find it in my area anymore. I mean, once I picked mine up, my Toys R Us actually restocked a second time with a second case of four, but after that, they disappeared.
Yeah, no, I haven't. Like I said, I haven't seen a tag. Two different Toys R Us's, no tags for them out anymore. So maybe they're gone? I don't know.
That's one thing I've noticed about some of the legacy items. Not all of them, but it seems like if you don't get that first wave and they sell out, you're pretty much out of luck.
I don't know, because like the limited edition Megazord sat on the shelf forever, for like a year. Mm-hmm. Literally. So I don't know if that meant that nobody bought it or if they just overproduced it.
For the Falcon Zord, I only saw that in my Toys R Us. Like, it was there for a day, and then they just sold out, and they never restocked.
Might have been getting restocked, and there's still a shelf tag on it. I saw two shelf tags for it in two different Toys R Us today. There's nothing there, but there's a shelf tag for it.
Yeah, and the only legacy thing, at least in my local Toys R Us left, is, like, they've got, like, one Saba on the shelf. That thing's been there
for Saba. Saba and Tiger Zord have been gone for 3 or 4 months in mine now.
Oh, okay.
Saba never got down to, like, the really awesome markdown price. It got down to, like, $75 and sold through.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Finally, for Dino Supercharge, if anyone still collects that, the DX Titano Charge Megazord has been released. And this was found via Latino Ranger on Twitter.
Ooh. No, not to Latino Ranger. That's cool. Okay, so if you're familiar with the Kyuruja release of that figure, like, it had the ability for you to put, like, 10 batteries in the back. Like, that was part of the whole gimmick. In the US version, they're like, nope, and they just put molded plastic there instead. So it's literally a shrunken down version that just kind of sucks.
Is it still going to be able to combine and do the, like, big, huge transformation?
It's still combined, but it's half the size of the Japanese version, I'm pretty sure. It's the same size as the regular Megazords. It's just another Zord.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it's not going to look as cool.
I never collected the Kyuruja mechas, but I've been pretty solid on the Dino Charge one. I have not collected any repaints because I made it a mission. I was like, you know what? No repaints. It's just doubling up on stuff. But I recently got Archelon and Oviraptor releases, because those are original Zords, and they were never in Kyuruja. They look pretty cool. I'm pretty happy with the original Zords, but the recolors, aside from, like, the Toku Nation Dino Charge Megazord, and, like, the black and gold one.
The limited edition Toku Nation on Kylo Zord, that came out too.
Yeah, which apparently, our friend Doug really wants. He's like, I need that one.
And don't forget that someone in Colorado, actually, Hala, found the limited edition Terra Charge Megazord in a Walmart. Red, white, and black color of the Terra Charge Megazord. I have no idea what that's supposed to homage. I have no idea. I don't even know, like, what are you supposed to combine it with to make the colors make sense? Like, I literally have no idea.
I don't know. At least with the green and gold in Kylo Zord, at least you can put it with the Toku Nation Megazord.
Well, no, I want to talk to Panda. I kind of said I'm not going to San Diego because it'll be like, do you guys just, like, give the interns, like, a here, make your own colored palette sheet and have fun. And if we like it, we'll use it. Like, I don't get it.
Also, some pictures, like the gold T-Rex and, like, that weird forest green Spino one are also out in the wild now.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not even going to bother with those.
I picked up Oviraptor and Archelon, but I thought about in Kylo, limited edition Kylo, I thought about it, but that's a rabbit hole I don't want to go down because it's not that I don't support it, because I remember saying, like, 2 years ago, like, wow, if they release repaints and recolors, that'd be great. They're missing on the cash cow. And now that they are, I'm like,
A little bit.
I meant, like, repaint a couple, not all of them, like, four times.
Yeah, at this point, it's just shelf filler to fill out the 2-year line. That's really all it is.
That's true. We didn't technically get a second season, literally, of something else to fill the shelf, so they have to somehow find a way to make the product last on the shelves and not have every case be 4 Titano Charge Megazords that nobody wants because they molded batteries into it.
But if they haven't treated us well on these 5-inch figures this year. I've been going nuts with those.
I still have my Power Morphicon predictions still on what the exclusive is going to be. I talked about it last time, I think, didn't I?
Did you?
I talked to you on the phone.
You talked to me on the phone about it. I don't think you mentioned your prediction for PMC.
My prediction for PMC is a Xenowing figure. We're getting the 5-inch Doomwing, like the evil version, but he's part of, like, the last wave. The super drive, super dino charge, super duper figures, or what have you.
With silver.
All 10 of those, plus a regular silver, plus Doomwing, and that's it. That's, like, the last wave, or even 2 waves. Mm-hmm. So my thought is they would do a Xenowing repaint for Doomwing and make it Power Morphicon, because you know they won't go any bigger than a 5-inch figure.
Right, and they haven't. The one from 2012 was that 2-pack with the repainted Samurai. Super Samurai and the Mugger. with the metallic. So basically, yep. For you Kyuruger fans, it's basically we might get like a Torin, essentially.
Because I don't think they'll drop money to do Poisandra as a whole new mold, not for a convention.
And probably not Keeper or anything like that.
If they do, it would be like a Xenowing figure with like a little 2.5-inch PVC Keeper that's half painted.
Why would they make him half size? I'm Mini Keeper.
Cost.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he's smaller than the Rangers, so make him half the size. And make him have zero articulation, clear PVC plastic for his eyes that are green so they like glow in the dark or something.
Make him as wooden as he is in the show.
As worthless as he is in the show, except for apparently plot advancement like halfway through Supercharge, yeah.
Hey guys, here's all this stuff I never told you that's going to happen. Here's the whole history, and I'm telling you 2 years later.
Forgot to tell you about XYZ. Kind of like Zordon.
What a dick.
I like to imagine that the last shot of the series will be like, so Keeper, why did all this stuff happen to us? And he'd be like, well, I have a very good explanation for that. And cut.
It's Chip Lynn trolling Zakor.
Yeah.
That'd be the ultimate screw. AP, are you still even on?
AP?
She's not even on.
She's gone now.
Oh, what do you think, God. AP? Silence for cut in.
What do you think, AP? F*** off.
Have her record it later. I think AP just doesn't want to record when I'm on the show.
I think that's an excellent, there's an excellent track record of that.
Every time I'm on, I'm usually filling in for her, or she can't make it last minute.
Right.
I have wronged her at some point, and I need to figure out why.
It's you, Chris. It's all your fault. No, I'm kidding.
I don't understand why she and I can't coexist in one podcast.
Do we have to have an intervention?
She said she had to log off and restart her computer.
I bet you if I had logged off, she'd log on and like the show would go perfect. I guess I should tell you, you should probably read the mini role ad.
I'll do that when I want to. That's like midway of the show. We barely like scratched the surface.
That's the next thing on the show notes.
Well, I thought we'd go on longer. Don't tell me how to run my own show.
He thought he would have, you know, more opinions from people who could talk, but then they left.
You should just keep this going and maybe cut out like the whole like AP hates me and doesn't want to be on the show when I'm on part. But
I mean, that's like, going to get cut out.
Add like elevator music to this whole thing while we wait.
Then let me just get the mid-roll ad out of the way.
Okay.
For you, the listeners of Ranger Command Power Hour and Talkin' Toku. God.
Wow. I didn't see that.
Ninja son of a
That's the last edit. That's the last thing I did. I added the extra bull to Audible, and I put Talkin' Toku.
So you did add the bull to You sneaky bastard! I didn't even see that happen! I just kept running with it and talking to him. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm literally Ron Burgundy. You put anything on that prompter and I'll read it.
My favorite part was that slow realization where you're just like, for you, the listeners of Ranger Command Power Hour and Talkin' Toku, wait a minute.
Oh Jesus. I just went right along with it too.
That's like, it. There's no more edits. There's no more edits. I only did two and they were little ones. When you were talking about AP, what's on your screen? Is that a dog? I was like, ninja.
I didn't see that one, but the one I saw was when you added the extra bull in Audible.
I knew you did because you started giggling.
I'll have to get that on the recording.
Hello?
Hi. AP's back.
Do I sound okay?
You sound just fine.
Perfect.
AP, while you were gone, we decided that you just hate my guts, and anytime I'm on the show, you just don't want to be part of it.
Oh, you found out my secret.
It wasn't very well kept.
The secret Ranger fan is that I hate cats.
Oh my god. I can't laugh anymore.
Hey, do you have any comments about, like, the Titano charge? Do you care?
Not so much, no.
Okay, cool.
My level of care is below zero right now.
Is that just for all of Supercharge, or...
I mean, I don't blame her.
a good like 55-60%, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's pretty disappointing. So for you, the listeners of Ranger Command Power Hour, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/rangercommandph. Again, that's audibletrial.com/rangercommandph for your free audiobook. All right, so since we're pretty much just going to shoot the shit, we do have a lot of questions that came in from our Ask FM, and even our Ranger Nation answers were, we asked, you know, what questions do you have for us, the hosts of Ranger Command Power Hour? Anything you want to know as a listener? So we got quite a bit from Twitter and Facebook and Ask FM. This could keep us going for another hour, so let's just get right into it. So okay. Our good friend RJ Uchihabro 77 and Anime Redneck 96. He asked on ask.fm/rangercommandph. He said, if you had to choose, would you want legacy Megazords or legacy action figures of your favorite season? Zach.
Megazords all the way.
But of what season?
Oh, gosh. That's a hard pick. Because I still technically have all my SPD Zords down in the basement.
Right.
You know what? Legacy, this is going to sound crazy, legacy Turbo Megazord, because I never had that one as a kid. I like the vehicle-based Megazords.
Yeah, I got out of the toy collecting when I was a kid, just before Turbo. In fact, I don't even think I had any of the Zeo stuff. I think it was like third season of MMPR, and I kind of got out of the toys when I was a kid.
Yeah, I remember the last thing I collected from Power Rangers was the Turbo Morpher, and like after that, I got nothing else from Power Rangers ever again. Until...
Until... But yeah, I always liked the toy version of the Turbo Megazord. I mean, I've seen the older toy of it, and it had all that, like, die-cast and like, super hardcore, just the sculpting and everything was really nice. So, yeah, legacy Megazord of that would be pretty sweet. How about you, P?
I would say action figures, only because I've never really collected Megazords at all.
Mm-hmm.
And action figures are a hell of a lot easier to store. And plus, it would just be more possibilities rather than Megazords.
If they told you, hey, AP, we're going to release a legacy line of figures tomorrow, what season would you want it from? Like the first wave of a new legacy action figure line?
Turbo.
Okay, lots of Turbo love.
Turbo love is my band name now. We're Turbo Love.
The legacy action figures are like those MMPR and Ninja Storm ones they released. How awesome would it be to have a Phantom Ranger in that style?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Chris, what about you? Legacy Megazords or the action figures?
I'm going to say action figures only because, like, okay, so when I was a kid, I never got any Power Ranger toys. I wanted them, I just never got them. So I didn't actually start buying any kind of, like, quote-unquote Power Ranger toys till I was, in my late 20s, because I'm an adult. But I have no connection. Like, the Zords were cool and stuff, but I watched the show. And I like the characters, and like I thought the suit battles were cool and the martial arts. So I like the action figures, I guess. As far as which series, it's hard to say because obviously Zeo Gold Ranger, yay! But Zeo overall, like the suits are kind of eh. I guess if I had to pick like an actual season to get figures, that I would actually be like, yeah, I would go SPD.
Nice.
Just so I could get a Shadow Ranger, a Cat Ranger, hopefully. And
I would love for them to do if Bandai ever reaches that point. Seriously, give me every SPD Ranger. Give me Nova Ranger. Give me Shadow. Give me Cat Ranger. Give me freaking Boom's Orange Ranger. I think it'd be cool to have a complete line of SPD. As for me,
new powers.
Oh God. Like what, the change man, like the dragon?
They'll still give you like Tokyo's your figures as legacy new powers train force.
Okay. I have to go let my dog out because she's freaking.
Okay.
So I guess stall or move on without me.
Yeah,
we'll... Just go.
I'll be back in like a minute.
Okay. As for me, I kind of want more legacy Megazords. I just really like the quality that, especially like the new Dragonzord, despite like those first run clips that had issues from the Thunder Megazord, I really like how that release was overall. So I definitely like to see them, and I would keep buying legacy Megazords. I think I'm running out of room for action figures. I've always loved the big robots and stuff. If I were to pick a season for them to do next, I would actually love either In Space or Lightspeed Rescue, because those are two solid seasons, and I really like the designs for the Megazords for both of those shows.
Here's an idea for you to stall. What are your top three must-have seasons for legacy figures? Top three, like we have to have them, excluding Mighty Morphin and Ninja Storm, obviously.
Okay.
Your top three, they have to make them, no exceptions. I'll be pissed if they don't make them. Top three.
Top three, SPD, hands down, that's my number one pick. Lightspeed Rescue, just because with Titanium Ranger, I want like a definitive Titanium Ranger, not crap figure. I think the silver would look amazing in a nice premium legacy figure format. And then my other one, to kind of go along with the whole American exclusive Rangers, if they did a full lineup of Jungle Fury, like the Bat Ranger is hands down, that's one of my favorite helmets. It's one of my favorite suits. If they did a whole line of every Jungle Fury Ranger, that would be pretty sweet. I don't think it's going to happen, but I would love for it to happen.
Zach, what about you, dude?
Yeah, I was just going to say my top three SPD, Jungle Fury. And again, yeah, if they did the whole six or seven Ranger team.
You got to include Camille and Jared, right?
Right.
Oh, and I would. Yeah, that's true.
Like 10 of them.
So 10, yeah. So yeah, that would be awesome. Because not only is the Violet Ranger badass, I mean, come on. But yeah, the Bat Ranger, again, I agree with you 100% on that, Eric. The Bat Ranger is one of the coolest American-made suits ever.
That helmet is gigantic, and it's just, it looks bad.
And then my third one, I'd want Dino Thunder, because those suits are just, they're neat, they're sleek with the lines the way they are, and I would love if they could figure out a way to do it so that you could add the Super Dino Mode.
Super Dino Mode!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like if somehow you could pop out the
arms. Yeah, you pop out the arms and exchange them for the Super Dino Mode arms.
Oh man, that's a good idea.
Okay, I've got my top three.
All right.
I think you guys will agree with me, and you might be like, oh, how do we fit that into my top three? So I would definitely say SPD, right? Mm-hmm. I would say Zeo, just because I want my Gold Ranger, so whatever. But then my third one is going to be, and again, it's going to be because of all the auxiliary Rangers, it'd be Mystic Force. Yes. I want a Korag, I want a Red Wolf Warrior, Sentinel Knight, a definitive Sentinel Knight,
I debated Mystic Force, but I went with Dino Thunder over it.
With Mystic Force, there was never a great Solaris Knight figure. Bandai didn't even release one here.
They did, but it was like a Genji Morph figure or something like that.
Yeah, it was one of those dumb armor things. Okay, good. We're still on the same topic. Chris had a great question that he's going to ask you, AP.
Oh, okay.
Okay, say you got to pick three series to get these new legacy figures from, right? Three seasons.
Okay.
Like, they're your top three. If they don't make these three seasons into figures, I quit the fandom. Screw you, Bandai. Screw you, Saban. I'm out.
Okay.
What three seasons of figures would those be?
And we're talking complete line here, every Ranger.
Okay. Turbo.
I like it.
SPD.
That's all four of us said.
Everyone has said SPD, yeah.
And Dino Thunder.
Yes!
Zach's pick!
I am not alone Dino Thunder alone.
For reference, Eric picked SPD, Jungle Fury, as long as they included the three Spirit Rangers, Camille and Jared. And what was your third one, Eric? Was it?
It was actually Lightspeed Rescue. So
Lightspeed Rescue.
A good Titanium Ranger figure.
Zach picked Dino Thunder, SPD, and Jungle Fury. And then I picked
SPD
and Mystic Force. You gotta get a Sentinel Knight. Come on. And Korag. Korag!
No, stop saying Sentinel Knight. That's Overdrive. It's Solaris Knight.
Oh, whatever. I just made a horrible mistake.
Yeah.
I don't want Sentinel Knight. God, please, toy gods, don't listen to him.
He was horrible.
Operation Overdrive in 2017. I'll quit. I will freaking quit this fan.
Actually, I think it would be cool if they did ever reach the Overdrive point, if they included as like maybe an exclusive MMPR Black Ranger with the Defender vest.
That would be cool. I'd be all for that.
Yeah, because when he was fighting Thrax or whatever. Yeah, Thrax figure. Give us that.
No. Yeah. Yes. I actually want that now. What are you doing?
Well, AP, my idea for the Dino Thunder figures was, what if we get interchangeable arms that give them the super dino mode spikes?
Yes! Oh my god, yes!
It's a good idea, right? Like, yeah. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Technically, it'd have to be also interchangeable legs, because I think the legs have the spikes too.
Right, yep.
And you know what else might also be awesome? What? But now my mind is changing like every second on this. Swappable heads with like the roaring dino.
Yes!
Mouth thing.
Just make two different sets of Dino Thunder, all right? Make regular Dino Thunder and make Dino Super.
We could get Black Ranger stuck in amber.
Wait, what if that's the build-a-figure? Like, you collect all the pieces and they form.
It's just like a little suit of armor that goes around the Black Ranger figure. You can encase them in armor in amber, and it's like,
that would be awesome.
The PMC exclusive could be an empty package invisible Black Ranger
for $30.
No tooling required.
Well, limited to 1,000 pieces.
Actually, I think like the quote-unquote invisible action figure would be cool, because they did that with the Space Ghost figure. They did like his invisible form, and it's a clear plastic action figure.
Did you see what Mattel's doing for San Diego Comic-Con? They're literally releasing a see-through clear jet for Wonder Woman.
Awesome. Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
someone on Twitter had a picture of her just like sitting on the ground. They're like, look, I made one myself for free.
You could like tie fishing line around your Wonder Woman and duct tape the other end of it up on the ceiling, and she could be flying around in her invisible jet.
And it's just her like in a sitting position.
Yeah, exactly. Her sitting with like the fishing wire up under her arms, and her arms look like she's holding onto the steering wheel.
So an anonymous person on SFM said, are there any more possible episodes for commentary? Maybe some team-up episodes. Yeah, in May we did our big commentary month. We're not going to stop doing commentary episodes, but I'm not going to do like 10 of them in a row, because we're not a commentary podcast. I mean, we'll do some like every now and then, but it's not going to be every month we're going to do one or something. It's right. Just like, yeah. Here and there, maybe to celebrate anniversary milestones, like what we did with the Power Rangers movie when that hit the 20-year mark. We'll do episode commentaries here and there, but we're not a commentary podcast.
You know what you could do?
What's that?
Like a Ranger Command Power Hour from India, like Dino Supercharged spoiler episode or something. I don't know. Since the show is already airing like 8 episodes ahead in India, like it should end here in like the next 2 months.
Yeah, there's already spoilers all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say this straight up. The only reason I did the commentary month was because I needed a break in May. I was getting a little burnt out between all the stuff going on at work and in life. I needed a break. So it was great because Zach, AP, and I got to just record and watch 3 episodes of Power Rangers. We made the recording. We drank. It was a fun night. And then because those episodes require so little editing for me, because once we get to the episode, it's all unedited from there on out. And it worked out pretty well, just because all of our picks were kind of related all in some way, which we realized after the fact, like as we were recording it, like, hey, he mentioned the pizza thing in this episode. But yeah, I mean, for us, for a podcast, they're super easy to produce. Like once you do our little intro bit, there's like very little editing. So yeah, if I'm ever in a pinch and need to do 3 episodes in a row, yeah, there'll be more commentaries. But I know there are other Ranger podcasts out there that they do a commentary or discussion for every single episode of the series. Well, that's not us. We like to
do not have the willpower and stamina to do that.
No, neither do I. The next question that was asked by an anonymous was, will we ever see a return to the Flero cave?
No.
Yeah.
That was a one shot and probably for the best, because boy did that series go downhill pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. I know AP does not want to talk about Arrow.
Nope.
And I don't watch it anymore either, so
I'm going to stick with it just to see what this next season brings. Maybe because I'm a masochist and, you know.
Can I just throw out there how funny it is that they, like, announced a new cast member today? And, like, most of the responses are, this show sucks now.
Wait, who did they add?
I don't know. I don't follow DC, so I don't know.
It's like, Wild Dog?
Wild Dog.
Wild Dog. It's like a...
Who the
like,
f*** is Wild Dog?
It's never a, like, heard a, like one of the lowest tier DC characters.
Well, see,
the
reason appropriate they, for a lowest tier show.
I mean. Exactly, yes.
But see, the reason they have to do it that way is because DC and Warner Brothers has decided that all these characters that are, like, really popular that they're going to use in their movies can't be on the TV shows.
That's actually not true.
Really?
That's not true. No.
Are you sure?
I read something similar.
It's just a rumor that's
because true. They interviewed what's her name, the girl that plays Oliver's sister on Arrow, and they said that they wanted to bring back what's his name, the villain from season 2,
Deathstroke.
Yeah, they want to bring back Deathstroke, and the powers that be refused to let them do that because he was going to be in the movie, and they didn't want to confuse anybody about who Deathstroke is, so they weren't allowed to bring him back, is what she said, because he was, apparently the actor was all for coming back, and the higher-up said no.
Mm.
That's what she said. I heard
the exact opposite about that. That he does not want to come back.
I had read a report that said he had said offhandedly to somebody he didn't want to come back. The only reason I'm not sure if that's true now is because this is apparently an actual interview with whatever her name is.
I hate that excuse from, like, studios, like, oh, we don't want to confuse the audience with, like, two Deathstrokes, or it's like, do they think that most people are just the worst idiots around? Like, I think we can figure it out. There's a movie universe that they're making pretty clear that's separate from the TV. So I don't get the whole excuse for, like, oh, well, we need to remove this character because we're going to use it in the movie now, and it can never again be used in the TV. It's dumb. Like, obviously, Arrow has its own story that they've been developing.
The interview I was referencing, I'll have to try to find it. I'll send it to you, AP, if I can find it. But What's-Her-Name was referencing the fact that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is, like, tying in to the Marvel movies, and apparently...
But they're really not. They're not doing that either.
Kind of, sort of, but not really. But there's talk that's where the Inhumans movie is going to launch from, is from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But then they canceled the Inhumans movie. They removed it off the schedule.
I just thought it was still on the schedule, just not... scheduled, like, it's on there, but there's no date at this point.
No, they came out and said they canceled it.
Well, speaking of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I read an interview from Chloe Bennett, who plays Daisy / Sky, and she said that there's almost like a distance between the movie Marvel universe and the TV universe. Like, even though it says they're all the cinematic universe, that the movies aren't doing much to connect to the shows, even though the shows are referencing the movies. So there's no, like, give and take there. I think mainly she said that maybe she wants to be in freaking Avengers Infinity War, but I think these shared universes, I mean, it's a good, I think Marvel's doing it right. I mean, obviously there's a big universe there, but DC separating the movie and the TV.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not true, though.
Let's just call it that is. Guy. It's all these actors are just mad that they're not in the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Straight up, that's what it is. They're not getting the payday. They feel like they helped create the interest in the characters in the movie, and then they're not part of the movie when it comes out because they're not A-list, you know, Will Smith characters or something. So
Right.
Sounds like another fandom I'm a part of where people are just so upset they're not involved in the movie. I don't know which one, though. Transformers or something.
So will we ever see Return of the Flare Cave? No. It was April Fool's. We're moving on. But who knows what the next April Fool's might bring? I don't even know. And then finally from AskFM, our last Anon question. If you could start another podcast, what would it be about? Chris, I'm going to start with you since you ended one podcast.
We're restarting Talk and Toku, but not as a podcast. So we'll explain that sometime in the future. But so I don't count that anymore. Honestly, with where my interests and I guess where my money is going, I'd probably start a Transformers podcast. Not about the movie. The movie sucks. Let's stick and the cartoon sucks. Let's just stick to toys and comic books. done.
Nice. Nice. Zach, if you could start a podcast about anything.
Well, I know last episode we joked about starting a Pokemon podcast, so that's possibly in the works. But I think AP will agree with me and probably join me on the Wynonna Earp podcast.
Yes! Yes!
She and I, every Friday, it has become our thing to sit and watch and go AP.
I know, and to be jealous, I am jealous. Because I see you guys like live tweeting back and forth, and it's like, well, I don't have cable, so I don't have sci-fi, so I can't watch it live. And by the time I get caught up, you guys will probably be moved on. So I see your excitement for it, and it's awesome that the freaking main writer and executive producer is tweeting at you guys. So, yeah.
Every time the producer, shout out to Emily Andres, or the main lead, Melanie Scrifano, tweet at me, I have a mini heart attack, and I love it. It is every Friday night is a constant, just me and AP yelling at each other in private messages, like, oh my god, she tweeted me! Oh, she replied to me! Ah!
Yeah.
And not to mention, the dude that they got playing Doc Holliday is on point. Like, he has one of the best old Western character attitudes. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's even funnier now that he has a car he doesn't know what to do with.
If I were going to create a podcast, I'm doing a Power Rangers podcast. I'm on the Starfleet Escape podcast. Those are my two big fandom interests. If anything, I would like to start one with Teresa, maybe like a general nerd or anime type of podcast, just because the one time that she recorded with us, she was very interested in getting what I'm into, which is podcasting. And I know she listens to every single episode so far of Ranger Command. So, you know, I appreciate that support, but at the same time, I would like to get her involved too. Yeah, if we could do like a nerdy couple podcast, and I have a couple friends who do something similar, so that might be cool to do.
That sounds like fun.
I have a couple of friends who they do a movie podcast, but the thing is they all live locally. So they record their podcast. It's like a whole, they go see a movie and then they go home and they record about the movie that night for every Friday night, and they release every Monday. So that's just what they do.
Personally, I would love if all of us were local. That would be pretty amazing. But
free babysitters.
Exactly. On the 4-Eyed Radio Network, the Socially Awkward podcast, Eric, Matt Renfro, and Steve, they're all local, and they do it at one apartment, and they have a whole setup. Because there's something to recording live. Like, the few times that we've recorded live, it's just different energy to it. It's more exciting, and I think ultimately you just have more fun with a live podcast. Not that, you know, this isn't great, too. Because, I mean, every week I get to talk to you guys. So, who knows? Coming soon to the 4-Eyed Radio Network, the Wyatt Earp podcast. Like, who knows?
Why don't know, but sure.
What did I say?
Did Wyatt.
God. In my mind, it was like Wynonna Earp, Wyatt Earp, whatever.
That's her great-great-granddaddy.
I get that. So moving on from Ask FM, we're going straight to Twitter. And Tyler Bozetsky at Tucson PR Zealot, he asks, for all of you, when, if ever, did you grow out of PR for the first time? And when did you get back into it and why? And I know we've covered this a few times on the show before, but so I'm going to start with Chris. What?
You can't hear that?
My dog keeps sticking her face in the microphone.
Yeah, I can hear her just hurting. I'm like, geez, who's breathing hard?
I was just really excited about this question. God. I grew out of Power Rangers, let's see. It lost me in Turbo, but I stuck around a little bit, and then, I'll be honest, towards the end of Lost Galaxy, I think it lost me. Lightspeed Rescue was kind of the nail in the coffin for me, and then I came back in Dino Thunder, and then SPD lost me, and then I came back RPM.
Okay, why did SPD lose you? Was it just that second half of the show, or?
I was in college, and so I didn't always get the ability to watch it.
Oh, okay.
But it just, I think it was one of those things where the nostalgia bug got me when Jason David Frank came back for Dino Thunder, and I was like, yeah, this is awesome. And it's really hard to go back to something when, like, you go to a new season with a new cast, and you're like, eh.
Yeah.
You know, I was an adult. I wasn't a kid anymore. I was an adult. I was like, eh. It wasn't until I got older, and then I got a little more interested. I think I got interested for what? When Johnny Young Bosch came back for Operation Overdrive. I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that led into RPM, which I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. And then everything got ruined after that, and I'm still here.
But aside from Power Rangers, how long have you been watching Toku?
Toku is an aspect as beyond Power Rangers, so not just Power Rangers, but Kamen Rider and stuff like that. My first Kamen Rider show that I started watching and really, really got into was Fours, or Fours A, however you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Which I loved because it had a very Power Rangers feel to it, right? It's about a kid in high school fighting monsters and so many twists and turns in the story that you're just like, holy crap. And then Wizard sucked, so. But then Gaim was pretty cool.
Are you getting pretty cool. The whole... We went nuts for Gaim.
Okay, Gaim was pretty awesome. Gokaiger, obviously, really drew my interest. I tried to get into Dekaranger, believe it or not. Technology and me did not get along back then. I was like, I don't want to download 400 megabyte AVI files of quality with no subtitles. Screw this. So, yeah, no, that didn't happen. I pick and choose my show. So, like, I was like, yay, Gokaiger. And then after Gokaiger, I was like, boo, Go Buster. And then I didn't even watch Kyoryuger until it was over. And then I tried. I tried with Tokyuger. I tried.
I tried.
I tried with Ninninger. I tried. Oh. I got through Star Ninger and his arc when he left finally on the show. I had to go on a boat to America. And I was like, this is dumb. So thank God Zuoger is pretty awesome so far. Still need to watch the latest episode. Kamen Rider, thank you, Gaim, for making me believe. And thank you, Drive, for being one hell of a follow-up show to that. And then Kamen Rider Ghost sucks. So now it's kind of like, all right, so all I watch now is Zuoger, Dino Supercharge, and Dragon Ball Super.
All right, Zach.
So I grew out of PR for the first time right after the premiere of Lost Galaxy, because the whole idea of switching casts and everything was like, what? Who are these people? I don't care about these people, so I'm done. And then I came back, of course, for Dino Thunder, because, come on, Tommy coming back was a huge deal. And then I've pretty much been with the series since then. I kind of faded out on, like, Operation Overdrive, because that series was terrible. That's pretty much my story with PR.
AP?
Okay. I never really watched Mighty Morphin or Zeo.
Mm-hmm.
Turbo I liked, but I never really watched that either, just because it always came on, like, while I was riding home from school on the bus. Oh, In Space, watched all of that. Lost Galaxy, not so much. Lightspeed Rescue, not so much.
Was it just kind of like an in-and-out thing? Like, you'd watch it when it...
Yeah, like, I always liked it, but I would just, like, always watch it when I actually could.
Sure.
So it was never, like, an every-week regular thing for me. I didn't really watch Wild Force, though. I kind of fell out of it at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching Ninja Storm, but I don't think I was really back into it at that point either. I really came back with it in Dino Thunder. It lost me again on the back half of SPD. Mystic Force, I actually watched that. Same thing with Operation Overdrive. I think I like somehow saw like every single episode of that.
I'm sorry. No.
I didn't really watch Jungle Fury, and I watched like a couple episodes of RPM, and then I was like, eh, didn't like it. So
it still hurts my soul.
Yeah. And then I really got back into it as more of like a regular thing during Samurai, which I don't know how I always managed to watch every episode of the terrible seasons. But, I don't think I ever truly grew out of it. It just kind of like ebbed and flowed depending on life.
That's a good way to put it. So it was sixth grade when Mighty Morphin premiered for me, and I definitely fell out of regular watching once high school hit. So just after Zeo, I watched here and there Turbo, and I could tell the quality was going down like in that first half. I think I saw like that power transfer when they switched to the second Turbo team, because that was like, what, 97?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So at that point, I was a sophomore, and I had my work program. At that point, it was just like not possible for me to watch Power Rangers. I would catch them here and there. Power Rangers was always in the back of my mind because, I mean, that was the TV show of my childhood. It wasn't until Dino Thunder hit. And I think Dino Thunder was like 5 or 6 episodes in already, because I was like, oh my God, Tommy. Like, I think we all were. I remember talking online, and then it just happened to hit early in the morning, and I was like, oh, well, I can finally check out what this Dino Thunder thing is about. Once that happened, and once I saw Tommy and the Black Ranger, I think the first episode I watched was when he became the Black Ranger. And then I was hooked. I was done with college by the time Dino Thunder hit. So yeah, my weekends were always clear. So I kept up with Dino Thunder. But when they started doing those announcement trailers for SPD, because 2004, since I got back into Power Rangers with Dino Thunder, that's when I hit up Ranger Board and I found out about Sentai. And my first Sentai that I religiously downloaded and watched was Deca Ranger. And so when they started doing those little previews for SPD, I lost my shit because I'm like, oh my God, they're adapting Deca Ranger and it looks like a futuristic cop show for Power Rangers. This is going to be awesome. For me, that's when my fandom for Power Rangers really exploded because 2005 was huge. That was the first year I got to meet Power Rangers at a convention of the current season with SPD. And I got to take my little brother, that because my little brother was 10 at the time, and SPD was his first Power Ranger series. So it was kind of like reliving my childhood through him, and his excitement, I think, really kickstarted my excitement for the franchise again. Ever since 2005, I never stopped watching it. I've suffered through all the horrible seasons like the fandom has. Overdrive was just a chore to get through. Even though it was a chore to get through when Adam came back as the Black Ranger and all the Disney ones came back, I was like, oh my God, this is it. The episode wasn't great by any stretch, but it was good to see, even if they were Disney actors plus one Saban actor, it was good to see old school team up like that again. Which, past SPD and past Overdrive, Power Rangers has just sucked in the team up department. We just haven't got any, aside from, you know, a few random cameos here and there. I'm a sucker for a good team up. Moving on, Sentai5, at Sentai5 on Twitter, said, what moment, episode and or season led you to become invested in the franchise? And I think this ties a little bit into the last one.
Season one, episode one. That was it. Ever since then, it was like, I want the toys. I want to play the video games. I want to see the movies. I want to watch the show. Like, that was it. I was the target demographic. I was 6 or 7 years old when the show came out. And it was like, yep, this is the thing I like now because this is awesome.
I would say for me, it was just because of how old I was. Justin.
Becoming a Ranger?
Yeah, because, like, he wasn't too much older. Well, he was, but he wasn't, like, an older teenager like the rest. He was, like, a kid just like me. Like, I could be a Power Ranger, too.
So that plan totally worked for you.
Yeah, kid me was ecstatic.
I was just old enough where at that point I was like, who's this little jerk? Why does he get to become a Power Ranger?
See, I was just old enough to go, oh crap, this is the end of the franchise.
Was the gold Zeo Ranger morphing for the first? Appearing? Was that the moment that crystallized?
That is kind of like the coolest moment where I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. But in more recent times, I guess, there's an episode of RPM that sticks with me to this day because I was like, that's actually a really deep topic they touched on, and I don't think people realize it. It's RPM Heroes Among Us, where Scott's dad rewards Jem for bravery instead of him. And so Scott gets pissed off and, like an angry temper tantrum child, runs off to try to prove his worth, ends up accidentally coming across a bunch of survivors and saves them. And his dad's like, fine, I guess I'll give you a medal. And he's like, no, I totally screwed up. I left my post. I didn't ask permission. I endangered everybody around me. I don't deserve it. And I was like, holy like, what a cool moment in the show to be able to write in a single episode, and showcase what a lot of people... I never had to go through it because I never had brothers or anything like that, but in a sense of proving to your father that, you know, you're worth something too, and then coming to the realization that you really don't have anything you need to prove. I just thought it was a really deep topic that they covered very well in a cool episode. That, to me, was like, all right, Power Rangers, you still have my interest. Since then, I've been a little disappointed, but that's like the pinnacle. That's the apex right there. That's the top of the pyramid. Because the Zeo Gold Ranger is a pyramid. That's top of the pyramid.
Oh, God, what a pyramid scheme. Is your favorite casino the Luxor?
I actually stayed at the Luxor the last time I went to Vegas. And it's got a beam of light on the top of the pyramid that shoots up, and I was so like... The person I was with, I was like, they would kill me if I was like, I call upon the power of... No. No.
Pyramidus! Yeah!
That would okay. be such a great photo app. Someone cosplay the Gold Ranger, get a gold power staff, and do that pose in front of the Luxor at night.
That's what I'm saying. Why has no Zeo Gold Ranger cosplayer done that yet? Holy crap.
Trent? Where's Trenton?
Trenton needs to do that, for sure.
I will pay his ticket to Las Vegas for him to do that.
As a kid, I knew Power Rangers was going to be this huge thing when that Green with Evil arc happened. Because literally every single kid in my class was talking about it the next day. That was really the first time, 11 years old, where I was like, wow, Power Rangers is this thing that is never going to stop. And I hope it doesn't stop. As an adult, I don't know. It was, again, it's tying back to the MMPR nostalgia. And I think Disney and Saban are very smart in, you know, keeping the Mighty Morphin thing going, even though, you know, creatively it's maybe not what the majority of the adult fans want, but they know it's going to cash the most money. But when they brought back Jason David Frank, when I saw that Dino Thunder episode for the first time, and he's back in action and all in black, and I was like, wow, this is really cool. I haven't stopped watching since. Kevin Rowland at Kevin Rowland 1, he asks, what moment across the life of the series have you identified with the most? Is there a moment that hit home with you?
Nope.
Yeah.
No, there's no moment where I'm like, wow, my life is just like that. No. I have yet to have slapstick comedy bullies pick on me where I then turn around and beat them somehow. I've never witnessed a superhero and learned their secret identity.
I've never had a roller skating grandma or a purse that turned into a monster.
I never saved someone's baby on rollerblades.
I never had a juice bar in my hometown.
I was gonna say we never had a space program that sent teenagers into outer space. we never had a space colony take off and go into another galaxy. The demon world never came to life and attacked.
I never had a sentient car kidnap me in the middle of the night.
I have yet to experience a giant monster battle in any city that I'm aware of. so no, I mean, I know what the question means. Like, hey, is there like a storyline or a moment that you're like, oh wow? Because there is parts like where Justin and Turbo. I mean, that's probably the closest any of us might feel. You know, the fact is, Dad's never got time for him. I remember the episode, but that never affected me. I guess I'm lucky. My parents always made time for me to make sure that I'd say maybe for health reasons, my dad couldn't play catch with me till I was like 15, 16, but I never got to fight Divatox in the meantime. So.
Yeah, I know what Kevin's asking, but even as a kid, I don't think any of, you know, Power Rangers, quote unquote, life lessons, there was never a moment at the end of an episode where they're like, lesson of the day. And I'm like, oh my God, this has changed my life. But I think just the overall themes of the show about, you know, friendship and teamwork, those are always pretty important, but there's no single moment where I was like, oh, this speaks to me. I never fought the Machine Empire on the moon and saved the day with my crappy CGI bike.
I never got turned into a monkey by a torpedo.
I never got baked into a pizza.
That's my dinner tonight when we're done.
Is people baked in pizza? It's people.
Don't judge me. It's not pepperoni.
It's people.
It's people-roni.
Ew, people-roni. People-roni, the San Francisco tree.
Oh, no. We're having people-roni.
That could go in two very different directions, and I'm going to take
it. Yeah. Moving on, John at Tyranno John, he asks, what season of Power Rangers do you wish you could completely forget and experience watching for the first time again?
For a minute there, I thought that was going a completely different route because my answer was going to be Overdrive, but no.
So, like, with none of the preconceptions of watching the season.
I have an answer that everyone will agree with, so.
Go for it.
Super Mega Force.
You want to forget that and watch it for the first time?
I want to forget everything about Gokaiger. I want to forget everything about Super Mega Force. I want to forget everything about all the news and information leading up to Super Mega Force and watch Super Mega Force as a clean slate.
Okay.
just like, oh, cool. Oh, wow. Oh, they can turn into the past powers. Oh, cool. Because my expectations were so unbelievably high,
yeah.
Which is my
own fault. Yeah, that's a pretty good answer.
Every other series, cool, whatever. I mean, I didn't watch Shinkenger and Samurai still sucked. I didn't watch Ghostsager and Megaforce still sucked. So Super Megaforce, I probably would have enjoyed 10 times more if I had just never been spoiled by every other thing. From Gokaiger to, rumor, confirmed, he is coming back.
Oh, God.
Like, that finale would have been amazing if I had not known who everyone was. Although, Patricia J. Lee was still the surprise guest.
Yeah. She was. God, I have to completely agree with that, because I watch Gokaiger. I freaking love Gokaiger. And you're right, Chris, that bar was set so high, and there was so much hype from the fandom going into it that it was a complete and utter letdown from the beginning. If I could completely go into that blank. Because I thought Megaforce was decent. Megaforce was a decent season. And then they cram all this other crap into it and try to make Gokaiger work, and it failed.
I mean, we were spoiled, because if you watch Gokaiger, then obviously you're like, oh, cool, the Six Rangers. Who's going to be Bosco? Who's going to be this evil guy that controls, like, you know, these puppet powers that are evil and they have to fight all the old Six Rangers? And then it's just like, Orion's like, what up? I got all these keys all of a sudden. I mean, that right there, like episode 10, I was like, done, whatever, pass. Mm-hmm. Nothing they do at this point. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Casey. Not even you can save it.
Zach, AP, do you guys pretty much agree?
Yeah, that's agree.
Because when Super Megaforce aired, we all over that on this podcast.
Yes, we did.
Yep.
That was a depressing time. Josh at Talkin' Tanuki asked, do any of you collect anything other than Power Ranger merchandise? Chris?
Okay, I'll try to make it real quick. So I really don't collect Power Ranger merchandise. Legacy stuff I do, but not the Megazords, at least, and the roleplay stuff. Transformers, just the Generations line, so like Combiner Wars and now Titans Return. Here and there on the Masterpiece line, that's really expensive, so I'm kind of like, eh. Other than that, I collect SH figure arts for Dragon Ball, Kamen Rider. I have every Star Wars figure art released so far, except for one. Yeah, I think that's all I collect.
Nice. Zach?
I collect a lot of different things, but never anything like full-heartedly. I have a little bit of everything. Kamen Rider stuff, Ghostbusters stuff, DC Comics stuff, Amiibos, Legos, Fallout stuff. I'm just kind of looking around my room and seeing what else I can find. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
AP?
I have autographs of favorite actors from different shows, and I kind of started like a little Arrow collection.
You collect those cool, like, costume cards.
Yeah, that collectible premium trading card type things with like the wardrobe swatches and the autographs and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think those are cool.
I started collecting those for Arrow. I used to collect for Warehouse 13 back when that was on.
I love Warehouse 13.
So I have a whole bunch of those too. Yeah, I also have like some action figures and stuff from Arrow, Funko Pops from Arrow and Flash, and then I've got some like Buffy the Vampire Slayer stuff.
Oh, nice.
I used to be, like, real big into that. I still really like it, but I don't collect really anymore. I just, like, have some stuff. And occasionally I might get something else if I see it on sale. But pretty much what I have besides Power Rangers stuff.
Before my heavy Power Rangers collecting over the past 10 years, I was huge into Star Trek. Anything Star Trek, all the Playmates action figures, the little playsets, all that stuff. I also collect, I am a fan of autographs, not just Power Rangers, but any celebrities I do really like that I go to conventions. I just like an autograph or a picture because that's like, hey, I met this guy and here's the thing I got. And a lot of them have really cool headshots and they're just really neat. But other than that, I used to collect a lot of the collector's edition stuff for video games. I kind of got out of that just because it's a bit ridiculous with some of these massive statues and stuff. And I just don't have the room for. But I'd say aside from like Power Rangers and Star Trek, I'm a huge fan of Halo. I definitely have all of the big collector limited editions except for number 5. I just didn't want another big statue in my house that I wasn't going to display. And other than that, I do like lithographs. I have a bunch of Mass Effect lithographs. I was huge into that series. And I also collect a lot of DVDs and Blu-rays. But right now, my big stuff is the Power Rangers stuff. Finally, from Twitter, Juan Carlos Sanchez at Ranger7Orange said, "With PMC coming up soon, my first one, what to expect and suggestions I do for the 3 days. I will say in a couple episodes, we are going to have our Power Morphicon survival guide, where we'll go like full tilt detail into this. Chris, what's your biggest tip for attending Power Morphicon?
I would say I have two tips. Tip number one is, if you've ever been to a Power Rangers actor panel, or you've ever watched them online, they are always the exact same thing. So if you've seen a panel, or you've been to a panel, it's the same panel, the same stories, the same questions, the same answers. Yeah. So for the most part, unless it's like a season reuniting, like, for example, Time Force, right? You got all, what, seven actors? Eight actors?
That was awesome at LexCon.
If you got eight actors from one series and they get their own panel, go to that. But like the all Blue Ranger panel, the all Red Ranger panel, you've heard the stories before. You've heard the jokes. So look at your schedule and determine if that's really what you want to go to, or if there's another panel before that or after that that you'd rather go to, because you're going to have to budget your time. The other thing I'd say is, don't set your expectations too high, only because you might think that this is going to be the greatest show you've ever been to, and not everybody gets to be Rowan, our buddy Rowan that came with us last time. who did manage to have probably the greatest convention of anybody I've ever known as far as going to a convention for the first time.
And that was his first ever convention. Not just Power Rangers, but ever going to a convention ever.
Well, me and Eric are like fighting drunk on the live drunk cast. He's out partying with Power Ranger actors in their hotel rooms with Zach. It was a crazy good time, but not everybody's going to get that experience. So don't go in expecting that experience. Right. I would say just prepare for lines, budget your time, and budget your money.
Zach, you've also been to Power Morphicon. What is your biggest tip?
Yeah, I got to agree with Chris's advice. Budget, budget, budget. Budget your time, budget your money. Make sure you have enough, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Story time. So we are at the convention. It's like Sunday morning, I think.
Yeah.
The rest of us are all leaving either Monday mornings when we're leaving, right? Like early Monday morning. It's like Sunday at like 11 o'clock and Zach's all, well, I'm out.
And we're like, what?
I like the show. He's like, I'm out of money. I'm gone. I called my dad. I'm out of here. See ya.
Yeah.
He just books it. And we're like, the show's not even over. And Zach's like, I'm done. Deuces.
Yeah. Well, thanks to some, shall we say, supportive encouragement from friends, I ended up spending like $300 at that convention in 2 days. So
you still have your Kamen Rider Guide belt and you still love it.
I do, and I have it modded so that it can actually fit my fat. So I love that belt now. Yeah, definitely budget your money as well as your time, because just things happen and suddenly you see something that you've been wanting and paying $30 more doesn't seem like such a problem.
I'm no stranger to conventions. I've been going to like anime conventions and general conventions since 2001. So 15 years convention experience. But going to Power Morphicon was, because it's like one subject matter of a thing you love, it's just Power Rangers. You've got Power Rangers bleeding through the walls at this convention. So it was definitely sensory overload. I think the biggest thing that you need to do is budget your time. I think the time factor, it's a 3-day convention. It's going to fly by. Even if you're there 5 days, you know, if you're there Thursday and Monday, it's absolutely going to fly. Mm-hmm. So pick the major thing that you want to go to, like one or two panels. I was trying to do panel coverage and forget that. I'm not doing that this year. I'm hanging out with my friends. The dealer's room where all the Rangers are is huge. There were so many actors that I wanted to meet at the last Power Morphicon. I literally did not have enough time to meet everyone that I wanted to. So you really have to pick. You have to pick a goal of, these are the handful of people that I absolutely must have, need to meet, and this is the one or two panels that I need to go to. Other than that, aside from the must-haves, make sure you are completely flexible with your time, because you might see a friend that you haven't seen in 5 years and then you're hanging out with them for 2 hours doing whatever. Like, just be flexible enough to enjoy the show. I guess that's what I'm saying. So that's my biggest thing. But yeah, we are going to do a Paramorphicon survival guide. Everyone needs to wash and bathe and use soap, for the love of God. I will bring out the Febreze.
To be fair, last Paramorphicon, I don't really remember any strong scents.
There's a couple that...
Was there? Okay, well,
my wave. So, yeah. And then finally, we got two questions on Facebook. Steven Martinez asks, will you be doing another live recording at PMC like the last one? It depends. I'm going into this where I'm focusing less on the actors and more on my friends that I've made in this fandom over the years. And to me, it's all about the friends. We might do a drunk cast. I really have no set plans for the podcast. I may just, you know, record maybe some interviews or a couple panels. So we'll see. Tommy Brevard asks, what 5 series, whether Sentai, PR, or both, would you recommend to a new fan? This is tough.
Yeah.
Can I just name the ones I wouldn't recommend?
Go for it.
A lot easier.
Okay, go for it.
No, I was kind of half joking. I'm not prepared for this.
I am not prepared for this sort of anarchy.
Gosh. All right, let me start out what you guys think. So, Teresa, my girlfriend, like, I keep mentioning her, but she's important in my life. Fortunately, she likes or is interested in the things that I like. Juojer is her first Sentai. It's such a great season so far. I think it's very welcoming to people new to Sentai. I tried to get her to watch SPD, but she watched the first two-parter, and she just couldn't get over the obvious stunt doubles in some scenes. Like, it completely took her out of it. But she has watched all of Dino Charge so far and does watch it and seems to be excited when it comes out. I think Dino Charge is maybe a good entry. I don't know, just considering how weak this first half of the second season has been. I'm just going to name Sentai PR both. Juojer. I would say SPD. It's my favorite, and it could be considered not a Power Rangers series if it didn't have the spandex. It just has that feel to it. Definitely RPM. Gokaiger. I think that's a good intro to all of the different teams, even though there are some callbacks and references to past seasons that newcomers might not get. At least it's a good introduction to the whole, at that point, 35-year history of the franchise. Final one, I'd say Dino Thunder. It's a solid, it's got that MMPR vibe without being MMPR, but better.
Yeah.
So I would say Dino Thunder, add to that. So those are my 5.
In Space, that was a great one. It's not perfect by any means, but I think it's highly entertaining and it's like pretty well rounded.
And that Turtles episode, I mean.
I know, right? Oh gosh. Lightspeed Rescue, looking back and just like in general, it's super corny, but it's actually pretty interesting considering that it's the first season where the powers didn't really come from like extraterrestrial means. So it's like a tad bit more realistic, I guess. And then Dino Thunder, because like you said, it's like MMPR without being
right.
MMPR. And Dino Charge. Regular Dino Charge, not Dino Supercharge.
Okay. I'm sensing a theme.
Oh, and then actually, yeah, Ninja Storm.
Okay.
Ninja Storm. It's got good humor to it, and I think it's like really well made in general. That would be my 5.
Zach?
Jungle Fury, I think, is a pretty good standalone series, so that's definitely on there. Dino Thunder is pretty good. Dino Charge, again, first. Gokaiger, that's probably your best introduction to Sentai, because they do talk about past teams. And then for the last spot, Juojer.
Nice. Chris?
I'll throw some suggestions out, I guess, for Power Rangers, like Sentai-wise. The best thing you can do is not follow everyone's advice. Just find the suits that look coolest to you and the Zords that look coolest to you, and then go watch it, because everyone's going to tell you that it's awesome or that it sucks, depending on who you talk to. When it comes to Power Rangers, if you're a new fan, meaning you don't know anything about it, maybe you caught a little bit of Mighty Morphin when you were a kid and that's it, but you haven't watched Power Rangers since then, I recommend not watching continuity-heavy series. So as much as I love, like, Zeo, probably going to confuse you if you didn't watch Mighty Morphin. In Space, might be confusing if you didn't watch Turbo. Super Mega Force, really going to be confusing. even if you've watched all of Power Rangers, it's really super confusing. Yeah. So on the Power Ranger side, I'd say, like you guys said, Dino Thunder. You know, everyone knows who Tommy is, right? Even my parents are like, oh, I know that guy. He was on Power Rangers. If my parents know, and they're in their late 60s, if they know who freaking Jason David Frank is. So Dino Thunder's a good one. I'd say RPM is a good one, but I would put that on the bottom of my five list just because it's Power Rangers. It doesn't feel like Power Rangers. And because of that, it is the redheaded stepchild of the entire franchise.
Oh, yeah.
So if you watch that first, you're like, wow, Power Rangers got cool. You're going to be so disappointed. Everything you watch after that. So a Dino Thunder, RPM on the bottom five. Dino Charge, just because it's the first half caught the magic back, so to speak, before shattering it all over the floor, like kicking you. Ninja Storm is a really, like AP said, it's a really good like start off point. Because it was like the Disney era, so the Doug Sloan was like, hey, let's make it like
do whatever. Yeah.
And then I would honestly say, need two more. I'd say Time Force, because it's another good story with good acting. I'll throw a Sentai in there just for fun. I would say probably Zuoger, because I don't want you to watch Kyuruger and then watch Dino Charge, because you'll either be disappointed in how one of them plays out, whichever one that is, I don't know. But you will be forever sad that Kyuru Sion is not freaking Robert Baldwin. But
Yeah.
Us fat guys everywhere lost our role model when that got turned into Dino Charge, so...
Pretty much. I think it's interesting that three of us mention Zuoger, and that's a series that has, it's still ongoing.
Yeah.
And it could end like totally crap, but I think every episode that I've seen so far has been highly entertaining. And
Zuo the World, oh my god.
Yeah.
Zuoguardo.
I mean, what a badass Sixth Ranger. Yeah, it's pretty nice.
And he uses a freaking fishing pole as a weapon. And makes it badass. Like, God, I cannot wait. And I don't want to wait. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see how Power Rangers does it if they do it.
Well, according to your prediction, they won't from last episode. It's just going to be Ninja Steel. And then
I'm really curious on how they're going to make Star Ninja morph in the U.S. version, if they're going to give him a freaking cheeseburger phone. So
hey, if that movie Juno can bring back the cheeseburger phone.
Yeah, but you don't turn into a superhero with a cowboy hat when you play with that one. That's about teen pregnancy. There's a difference.
There's our out-of-context quote for Twitter.
Yeah, and... And on that note, Ranger Nation, let us know what you think. If you have questions, which we will answer, email us at rangercommandpowerhour@gmail.com or check us out at rangercommand.com. We're on Twitter at rangercommandph, if that ever gets working, where people can see us. Facebook and Instagram at rangercommandpowerhour, all one word. Rangercommand.com, we've got all those links and more. Once again, thanks, Chris, for always filling in and stepping up to the plate. It's always good having you on.
Thanks for letting me relive my pre-fatherhood days by coming on the show. I literally don't have my girlfriend or my baby here. It's kind of like, I like this, but in like 2 hours, you're going to be like, I kind of miss not having a screaming baby that one needs a diaper change and food, and then sits there and looks at you and goes, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Thanks again for letting me on the show. It's been fun.
Definitely, man.
Okay.
You've been listening to the Ranger Command Power Hour, only on the Four-Eyed Radio Network. You can catch a new episode every other Saturday. Find us on the Morphing Grid at www.rangercommand.com. Follow us on Twitter at Ranger Command PH, and like us on Facebook.com/Ranger Command Power Hour. This is Truckee B47 from the Ranger Command Power Hour, and you are listening to the Four-Eyed Radio Network. Ranger Command is now on Patreon. Become a patron by pledging as much or as little as you like every month and receive cool perks. By pledging, you are helping us make our show even better. Go to patreon.com/rangercommandph to learn more. Thanks.
This has been another proud production of the Four-Eyed Radio Network. You want to see more shows? Go check out www.foureyedradio.com, you winkers.